الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the Creator and the Sustainer of the Universe, I greet you with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, the greetings of peace, Assalamu Alaikum, which means peace be upon you. I'm Muhammad Rashid, your host. In today's program, we'll be concluding our fourth series with our 14th program in Muslim beliefs. Our program today will look at belief in the books of Allah. I have with me again on today's program Dr. Jamal Bedawi of St. Mary's University. Welcome to the program, Brother Jamal. In a number of our earlier programs, I believe that I heard you mention or at least imply that Muslims believe in all of the genuine prophets and messengers of God who were sent before Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. I'm wondering if perhaps you could explain the relationship between this belief and the belief in God's holy books.
Okay, it's actually a derived belief. In other words, if the Muslim believes according to the directions of the Quran, in all the prophets and messengers that were sent throughout history, from Adam to Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad, peace be upon them all, then it follows from that, logically, that a Muslim must also believe in the original holy scriptures or divine revelations or books given to those prophets. So it's just a logical consequence of believing in those prophets. It is not only just a logical consequence, it is a duty on the Muslim, actually regarded as one of the six pillars of faith that one is required to believe in as a Muslim. The Quran indicates very clearly that the message or the essential message or mission of all of those prophets has been nothing but one, regardless of the differences in small details here and there. For example, one verse in the Quran says that we have not sent any messengers in the past or prophet except that we reveal unto him, that God reveals unto him that there is no deity but me, that's God, so worship me alone. So in that sense then we could say that as prophets taught the same thing, the holy scriptures throughout history in their original pristine form has taught nothing but this essential call on humanity to worship the one God. And in that sense, we can say that this is the same message of Islam, because the word Islam means submission to the will of God or worshipping Him.
Now, you mentioned that this is one of the pillars of belief. Well, I'm wondering if there's anything explicit in the Quran itself which requires that the Muslim believe in the holy books revealed to previous prophets before Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him.
Oh, yeah, certainly. And that's why I mentioned earlier that it is one of the six required pillars of faith, like believing in God, the angels of God, the prophets, books of God, believing in the Day of Judgment, believing in the Qadr that we described in the previous program. But let me give, not only the Quran, actually there are also some sayings of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, like the famous saying when Angel Gabriel came to him in a form of a human being and asked him so many questions. Mm-hmm. And one of those questions, what is Iman or faith? And he said that faith is to believe in God, his books, his messengers. So the books were mentioned there as one of those pillars of faith. Mm-hmm. But the Quran has been very explicit. If you will, I could give you two or three quotations from the Quran that clarify that. For example, in the second chapter of the Quran, in verse 4 in particular, it describes the believers as those who believe in the revelation sent to you, that is to you, O Muhammad, and the revelation sent before your time, like Holy Scriptures to previous prophets, and in their hearts they have the assurance of the hereafter. So this is one explicit mention of that. We find the Quran also ties between believing in God, believing in the messengers of God, believing in the angels of God, and the books revealed by God, all in one single verse. This is widely quoted, the verse in the second chapter also of the Quran, verse 285, that's towards the very end. And it says the apostle here refers to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The apostle believes in what has been revealed to him from his Lord, as do the persons of faith. Each one of them believes in God, his angels, his books, and his apostles or messengers. We make no distinction, they say, between one and another of his apostles. No fanatical distinction between messenger. They are all brothers. And they say, that is the believers, we hear and we obey. We seek your forgiveness, our Lord, and to you or to thee is the end of all journeys. So then it's part and parcel of the other articles of faith. And not only this, if I may add one more. In fact, the Quran more explicitly even directs Muslims and indicates it is an obligation on them to believe in the original versions of this divine revelation. This appears in the same chapter 2, verse 136. It says, say you, O Muslims, we believe in God, or Allah, and the revelation given to us, that is the Quran, and to, or the revelation given to, Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Jacob, and the tribes of the Israelite prophets, and that given to Moses and Jesus, and that given to all prophets from their Lord. We make no difference between one and another of them, and we bow to God in surrender or submission. That is the same word as Islam. We bow to God in Islam or in submission to his will. So in that sense, then, the evidence is quite ample in the Quran that this is part and parcel of believing in God and believing in the prophets of God, because these are the books that God has given to those messengers or prophets.
Does the Quran name any of the holy books that were revealed before it by name specifically?
Yes, there are, but we should not take that as the exclusive mention of scriptures. There are four scriptures that has been specifically mentioned in the Quran by name. And this includes, first, the scrolls of Abraham,
yes,
the Psalms of David, the Torah given to Moses, and the Evangel, or Gospel, or Injil, as it appears in Arabic, given to Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. These are the four, of course, in addition to the last revelation, and that is the Quran. But this previous four has been explicitly mentioned. Just for reference, in case anyone wishes to make further research on that, the scrolls of Abraham are mentioned in chapter 87, verse 19, and also in chapter 53, verse 37. That's one. Of course, we don't know where the scrolls of Abraham ended, but the Quran mentioned that there have been scrolls given to him. There's also mention of the Psalms of David, secondly, as I mentioned before. And this appears, for example, in chapter 17, verse 55. It also appears in chapter 4, verse 163. The Torah given to Moses is mentioned in the Quran also and described as providing guidance and light. It's phrased as originally, in their original form, giving guidance and light. This we find in chapter 5, verse 47. We find it also in chapter 6, verse 91 in the Quran. And the fourth, obviously, prior to the Quran, is the Evangel or Gospel given to Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. We discussed that in some detail in a previous program when we talked about Jesus, peace be upon him, in the Quran. And that appears in chapter 5, verse 4. So in a sense, then, you can say that the Quran acknowledged previous revelations, but these four are particularly mentioned. Just to give you a sample, since I only give verse numbers, just to give a sample of one quotation. In chapter 3, verse 3 in the Quran, or to start from the beginning, from 1 to 3, it says, Alif, Lam, Mim, God, there is no God but He, the living, the self-subsisting, eternal. And then notice this, verse 3. It is He, that's God, who sent down to thee, O Muhammad, step by step, in truth, the book, that is the Quran, confirming what went before it, that is other scriptures. And He sent down the law of Moses, or the Torah, and the gospel of Jesus before that, or before, that's before the Quran, as a guide to mankind. And He sent down the criterion, that's the criterion between right and wrong, and that is, to the Muslim, is the Quran, because one of the names of the Quran, that it is the criterion to distinguish between right and wrong. So even in the very same verse in the Quran, there is mention of three of the major scriptures or holy books, the law of Moses or the Torah, the gospel of Jesus, and the Quran, given to the final prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So these four are explicitly mentioned there.
What about the case of the other scriptures, other than the four that we've just discussed that are named in the Quran? Are they accepted or recognized, or are they rejected from the Muslim or Islamic perspective?
Well, the fact that they are not, that not all other holy books are mentioned explicitly by name, does not necessarily mean that these are the only scriptures given in the Quran. You can somehow get this notion by referring to the Quran in chapter 2, also in verse 2, 13. Notice here it says, كان الناس أمة واحدة فبعث الله النبيين مبشرين ومنذرين. That's mankind was one single nation. And God sent messengers with glad tidings and warnings. And with them He sent the book in truth to judge between people in matters wherein they differed. So notice here the verse uses in plural that God has sent messengers and prophets throughout history. And say with those prophets He sent the book or books. The book here means just the nature of the revelation, that not necessarily one book, but several books. So it is implied from that verse then that it's not only the four that's mentioned, but many other messengers and prophets must have also received revelations or scriptures. When you refer also to the Quran in chapter 5, verse 51, it talks also about God sending books before the Quran. Again, in the plural, without specifying the particular four scriptures that has been mentioned. So the word kitab, or book, at times is used not just in the singular, but also in the plural. So when you say prophets received the book, that means not one book, but there have been also several revelation that the prophet received. Mm-hmm. And of course, as we mentioned before in the second series, if you recall, on prophethood, that the Quran indicates that in every nation, everywhere in the world, in different points of time, there have been messengers and prophets. And obviously, if there were messengers, too many messengers, then there must have been also several revelations given to them.
Now, this belief by Muslims in the previous scriptures, does this mean that the present versions of these books are accepted by Muslims as they are, without reservation, that all of the books that were mentioned? I know several times you stressed the original.
Right. Yeah, I think I used that hopefully with justification, because as the Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was asked once as to what the Muslim really should do or how they should approach the scriptures prior to the Quran, at least the available versions at that time, that he said that one cannot accept it fully, nor reject it fully. This is a matter that one has to be fair-minded, but critical. And you have to be critical and honest in terms of demanding clear evidence that the scriptures represent the exact word of God. But one cannot be so biased also as to reject things in total. There's a criterion for that. What the Quran really is referring to as an obligation on the Muslim to believe is the origin. That is the original and complete version of those holy books that were given to previous prophets prior to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Now, it is very well known historically that many of those past revelations were either totally lost, like, for example, the Quran mentioned about the scrolls of Abraham, this is something we don't really find in the original form or can trace it clearly as a complete type of revelation. So some were lost. Even other books that came later on, there might have been some portions also that has not had the chance to survive the time. It is also known historically that many of the followers of previous prophets has been persecuted, and their books were destroyed and burned, and many times the followers of those prophets, perhaps with good intention, even try to recollect as much as they could of what those messengers of God has taught in the past. But the problem is that many times it was not quite clear as to what were the exact words mentioned or stated by those prophets as divine revelation, vis-a-vis the particular theological or philosophical interpretation by the followers. And as I said before, even if we assume that the disciples or followers would try to maintain or keep a record of whatever they could recollect of those scriptures, even with that good intention, human beings are not beyond error. Only the prophets, as we mentioned before, are protected from error because it's God's revelation and he wants to protect it. So as far as it's communicated by the prophet, it has to be correct. But what happens to it later on, the possibility of keeping it intact without any change, without any loss, it's something that was beyond the ability of people because of partly persecution and partly also mixing personal interpretation. In addition to this, we find evidence not only historically but even in the text of previous scriptures, which give us a clear evidence that the word of God is mixed with the interpretation of men. For example, it has been widely held that the first five books in the Old Testament, in the Bible, are called the books of Moses, or the constituting the Torah. You know, the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, the Numbers, and the book of Deuteronomy. Mm-hmm. Now, to the Muslim, the Torah is something that could possibly have been slightly different from these five books. Because according to Muslims, and according to some extent also to some statements in the Bible, the Torah was given to Moses where? In Mount Sinai. So it was given to Moses, Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, during his lifetime on Mount Sinai, complete. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, when you read in the book of Deuteronomy, for example, in chapter 34, verse 5, it says there that Moses, the man of God, died in such and such land, the land of Moab, I think it was. Now, you cannot say that this particular verse was part of the original Torah that was given to Moses on Mount Sinai, because it would not talk about the death of Moses. So it's obvious, not only this verse, actually most of the 34th chapter in the book of Deuteronomy, which is the fifth book of Moses, and even in the first four, four out of the five books of the Torah, other than the Genesis, if you look into the Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, in all of these books, it is obvious that there is talk there about Moses, description or biography about Prophet Moses, peace be upon him. This is a clear evidence that the five books are not really the Torah that the Quran is talking about, mm-hmm. but possibly part of the Torah, which is some of the instructions or teachings or codes of law, alongside with interpretation of people and their own description or biography of the life of Prophet Moses, peace be upon him. So in that sense, then, we cannot say that these are identical to the original revelation.
Well, the comments that you've just made in this regard, I think probably are things that are seldom noted by many people who read these scriptures. I'm wondering if there's anything explicit in the, or any evidence explicit from the Quran itself to the effect that the revelations which preceded it, or those scriptures which came before the Quran, if they had been altered or did not remain in intact as taught by their respective prophets. Is there anything in the Quran explicitly which mentions this, perhaps?
Right. Yeah. And there are several references to that in the Quran. The gist of it, just given the time that we have left, that some were totally lost. There are so many prophets, perhaps even prior to Abraham, even, Noah was a prophet, but there is no trace that we can find today of any of scriptures, for example, given to him. So some were totally lost to time. Some were forgotten. Nasu, the Quran uses the term Nasu Hadzan, that is forgot part of this by the followers, especially in cases where people depended on memory, tried to recollect as much as they could, or when the revelations was written down many years after the death of its prophet. And we know that this is always a problem in past scriptures. There is also, to be truthful, a mention in the Quran also that in some cases there were certain portions that were concealed of the scriptures, that for whatever motives some people might have been tempted to do this, and some were altered, whether with good intention or bad intention, even if you assume the best good intention, to alter the word of God and mix it with our own words might mix the clear truth of God with a human interpretation, which could be right and could be also wrong. Just to give you a reference to that, in case anybody wishes to explore on that, in the Quran, in chapter 2, verse 75, there's mention to that. In chapter 4, verse 46, about forgetting, it's mentioned in chapter 5, verse 14, about concealment, even on the part of some, it's mentioned in chapter 6, verse 91. Just to give you one sample, or one example of what the Quran puts in a very clear term, in chapter 5 in the Quran, in verses 16 and 17, addressing the people of the book, it says, O people of the book, there has come to you our apostle, that is Muhammad, peace be upon him, revealing to you much that you used to hide in the book, and passing over much that is now unnecessary. So there is mention there that certain things were, maybe to tie that with one of the series that we discussed before, I think it was the third series, Muhammad in the Bible. Mm-hmm. We have indicated that even in the present version of the Bible, there are so many clear signs about the advent in the future of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, which was fulfilled with his coming. But you notice also that we mentioned in the Quran asserts that there were even more clear prophecies mentioning him by name. And we quoted, for example, in chapter 61, verse 6, Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, mentioning about Prophet Muhammad by name. The Quran asserts that the people of the Old Testament knew also of the advent of the so-called that prophet, other than Jesus, peace be upon him, other than John the Baptist. We discussed that in detail in these sessions. So on the basis of that, then, it's obvious, at least from the Muslim point of view, that there have been some portions that might have not necessarily been preserved intact. But as I said before, we have to be also fair-minded on this, as the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, taught, that this is no justification for the Muslim to say, I reject previous holy books in toto, that I wouldn't look at any word of it. That's also a little bit too biased. But the Quran provides a solution, or reconciliation for that. Being the last revelation of God, which has been scrupulously preserved in its original form, not mixed by even the words of Muhammad when he was not receiving revelation, the Quran is taken by the Muslim as the criterion, the latest, most up-to-date, the most correct and preserved scripture of God. And that's why the Quran is called the criterion, the criterion that distinguish between right and wrong, original revelation and people's own interpretation, which might have been erroneous. One crucial verse in the Quran, just to justify that or give you the evidence from, appears in chapter 5, verse 51. It mentioned the Quran there in these terms, to thee, that is to thee, O Muhammad, we sent the scripture, the Quran, in truth, confirming the scripture that came before it and guarding it in safety. You see, there are two crucial words here. Confirming past scriptures and guarding it in safety. Confirming in a sense of accepting whatever verses or passages in previous scriptures, the Bible or otherwise, which are consistent with the Quran. So whatever the Quran confirms of these previous scriptures, the Muslim must accept. I think Ahmed has given an example in a previous program, like if the Muslim reads in the Old Testament that our God is one God, and reads in the words of Jesus, peace be upon him, repeating the same statement, and then we read the Quran confirming the same statement, there is no reason for the Muslim to reject or to have any qualm with this. So that's the meaning of confirmation. But also it says very clearly, and guarding it, or keeping it, safeguarding these scriptures, in a sense of correcting any misinterpretation that people might have fallen into by being influenced by philosophy or contemporary thought in their own times, so that the pure and pristine revelation of God could be distinguished from additions. Indeed, if I may add, I don't know if you have time to add one more citation to this.
Yes, please, we have 5 minutes, I think, left in the program.
Okay. There's one statement also in the Quran that shows that the Quran actually was sent with the explicit purpose of resolving conflict. It's not just like some people think competition or saying that this is false, this is right, but also to resolve the conflict that might have risen between people because of this confusion about the interpretation of the scriptures. For example, in chapter 16 and in 64, it says, وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا لِتُبَيِّنَ لَهُمُ الَّذِي اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. That is, and we sent down the book to you, O Muhammad, for the express purpose that you should make clear to them those things in which they differ, like the personality of Jesus, peace be upon him, difference between Jews and Christians, or between different sects, even in Christianity. And that it should be, that's the Quran, a guide and a mercy to those who believe. So there is a criteria for that. One cannot accept or reject in total, but rather take the Quran as the final criteria, the final word of God, to distinguish between the original revelation and other additions or changes.
Unfortunately, we only have a couple minutes left on today's program. I want to turn now to the Quran, recognizing that perhaps the question I'm going to ask you could be a program in and of itself, but I think many viewers may raise the question, well, what about the Quran itself? Is there any evidence? How do we know that the Quran has remained intact and is exactly the book as was revealed to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him?
I think it's a fair question, and if we were to apply this honest scrutiny, we have to apply it to all scriptures. In the Quran, you find both internal and external evidence. Internal evidence, for example, appears as an example in chapter 15, verse 9, which says that indeed we have revealed this book, God says, and we are taking care of preserving it. In chapter 41, verses 41 and 42, there is a statement also to similar effect. But that's not enough. Anyone can produce from any scripture similar type of statement.
Yes.
But in the case of the Quran, we find that there are plenty of historical and rational evidence or external evidence that shows that the Quran was preserved. First of all, the Quran was written down directly from the mouth of the Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in full, in its original language, in the lifetime of the Prophet. In fact, until today, there are places in the world, like in Tashkent, in the museum in Istanbul, Turkey, there are copies of the Quran that dates back to a few years after the death of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and these in turn were copied from the original manuscript written down under the supervision of the Prophet in the original language, which is quite unique in the history of scriptures. But like you said, this is a very big subject. I just gave a very quick indication of this, but perhaps in future
maybe
programs.
In one of our future series, we come back and get to do a series on the Quran itself. We've exhausted our time for today. I want to invite all the viewers of the Islam in Focus program back next week when we'll begin our new series, our fifth series, and we'll be talking about the five pillars of Islam. Thank you for watching Islam in Focus. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.